brain, you're in the nerd's domain. Come on in, it's about to begin.
Hi everybody, and welcome to the Nerd's Domain Podcast. I'm Matt, and I'm here with...
Charlie.
John.
And I'm Scott.
And today we're going to be doing a What You Doin', where we talk about what's going on in our lives that's geeky and fun. So let's start with books. Scott, you read a lot, right?
Yeah, sort of.
So why don't you go ahead and start us off?
Okay, the two primary books, when you look at books, I guess it's bookie books, I am reading the Rocket Age role-playing game for review, which is, I think, is absolutely fantastic. I think it's a great, they came out with a new book thing stuff that is very, you know, big bubble space helmet, shiny velour spacesuit, rocket around Mars, Venus, etc. It looks like to be a great universe to play in.
It is.
It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. And I was a big fan and am a collector of the Perry Rodan novels, the pulp serial space things that they had back in 70s, 80s, 90s, and they're still printing them. There's something like 2,000 or 3,000 of them that have been printed. They were a lot of fun. They're not exactly campy, but they're pulp space novel stuff. So Rocket Age reminded me of that, which was very, very nice. I'm also going through The Daylight War by Peter V. Brett, which is the third in the series, in the Warded Man series. I've started that. It's kind of nice. I got to the first two. I kind of want to see how it ends. It's culminating in the final, you know, we've gotten all the major players on the board, we know who the bad guys are, and now we're going to see the final clash to see that the good guy wins. I mean, I'm thinking that he's not going to pull a George R. R. Martin and just go, and the good guy gets killed because you like him and he's dead. So I don't think they're going to do that.
It's possible.
It is possible, but you know, it's not like, oh, I really like that character, oh, he's dead. So it's not Game of Thrones-ish in that fashion or variety. Those are the two books that I'm primarily engaged in at the moment. Who you want to throw to next?
Shirley, why don't you start? Or why don't you go next?
Right now, I just... And please don't take my nerd card. I'm reading The Hobbit in book form for the first time.
It's all right, I can't take your nerd card. I haven't read it.
Wait, for the first time?
Yeah, for the first time.
In all fairness,
like The Hobbit, there and back again, Tolkien.
Right? Yeah, Tolkien's.
I got through reading about the 13 dwarves and who they were about the fifth time and went, you know what, I can't do this anymore, because I kept falling asleep.
What?
It's very slow.
I don't think it's slow. I like it.
Wow, really? Yeah, I would have put a punch card with sort of an asterisk on your nerd card, but that's okay. You're there, but he hasn't read it at all. I'm going to take his nerd card.
See, there you go. And so that's what I'm reading in, like, actual hardback in my hand. Kind of reading. On my Kindle, I'm reading Princess of Mars by not Carpenter. It is Carpenter?
No, that's
Carpenter.
The main character's
that's
name.
John. That's the main character's name.
What is the name of that author?
I forget.
Edgar Rice
Burroughs?
Burroughs?
Burroughs.
That's his name.
Anyway, yeah. So,
wow, we did our homework on this.
I'm not a good name person, but those are the two books that I'm reading right now. The Hobbit, I find, because we watched There and Back Again. Was it There and Back Again?
Mm-hmm.
The Journey?
Mm-hmm.
The first part of it was The Journey. Or something.
Yeah, we watched the first of the Hobbit movies.
And I find it interesting because it just feels like a different take, and they're both believable. That's it. I really liked it. What do you got there, Scott?
Okay. When you're done with this book...
Uh-huh.
And you've watched the Peter Jackson atrocities, then compare the two, because you watch the movie, and then you're like, you're going to read along, and you're going to go, oh, hey, when does that one guy show up? And he's not even in the book. They're like, oh, you mean he added the... Oh, because they needed to take this book and chop it up into three movies, and they needed what they call filler. So they put this in, and they put this in, and they put this in, and they're like, and you're going to read it, and you're going to go, wait.
What about that guy? So, well, I'm at the point where they're at the trolls, and I guess between the book and the movie, I can see why they did things in the movie for cinematic value. Because in the book, if they had done them the exact same way they did in the book, I probably would have fallen asleep in the theater. So,
proving that the book is better than the movie? Because riveting. In the book, it's riveting. The book is riveting.
Yeah, the book riveting. Is riveting. I love the book, but I wouldn't be able to sit in a movie theater and watch that book.
It would have been one movie, though.
Proving that Bill Watterson was correct.
What did Bill Watterson say?
You cannot translate one medium to another. That's why Calvin and Hobbes is only a comic strip and has never been anything else.
I'd say he's right 90% of the time.
Tolkien wrote before movies were epics like that.
Sure.
Right.
So he could not write with that in mind.
No, like I said, I agree that in this one instance, I will 100% agree. But there are times when something can be translated.
We should do a whole episode on good adaptations.
We should.
We really should. And then topic. Bad just adaptations.
Yeah, adaptations, good and bad. Half and half. Be good. Put a pin in that. We'll do that later.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Because I curse Peter Jackson with every breath that we're on the subject.
Because you don't like the adaptation?
Because I started with his first Lord of the Rings. And in the first 30 seconds of the movie, he cuts out 60 years that they cover in the book. And he was just like, oh, we don't need that. And then it was like, and I love the forced perspective stuff, and I like the way, that's great. I mean, that's innovative. Bravo. Mr. Jackson, that's fantastic. You came up with a cinematographic trick. Yay! It's a special effect, because the stuff LucasArts is doing nowadays, like they're like, oh, we're releasing Star Wars 7, and it's going to be jam-packed full of special effects. No, they're effects, because the stuff you did in Phantom Menace and Clone Wars and that, they're not special anymore. They're what you expect from a Star Wars film. They're the effects in a Star Wars film.
Right.
There was nothing. Bullet time was a special effect because it was like, whoa, we've never seen that before. The forced perspective that Peter Jackson did with hobbits and dwarves and humans all in the same space, that was a special effect.
So your argument that wiping wipes in Star Wars, in the original Star Wars, that was a special effect because they'd never done that before.
Exactly. Exactly.
Star wipes were new. They had done wipes
before. Right. Star wipes were new. And the way they did the model movement and the camera movement and the way they blew up the deck, that was all brand new. Nobody had ever done that before. That was special effects.
Mm-hmm. So for a long time, Harryhausen was special effects.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
So, let's.
But when everything now has bullet time, bullet time has moved into the realm of, oh, well, you know, everybody knows how we do that now, and so many things have it that it's like, it's not special anymore.
Okay, hold on.
Shirley's raising her hand.
Okay,
go ahead. Sorry.
I know we got to move on, but, so, bullet time, are you talking about the stuff they do in The Matrix?
Yes.
Where watch the
bullets? Yeah, where it gets spins around and you...
I just wanted to, because I didn't know what
was going on. Yeah.
That was amazing. Amazing course time. When I saw The Matrix in the theater, I was like,
jaw dropped.
What just happened?
Yeah.
Oh, where Carrie, I forget her last name, jumps up the air.
The camera spins around and her stopping and everything. Yeah. Like,
and then when he's on the rooftop and the agent and he just dot and you see him and it hits him and you're like, what just happened?
The only thing I wish I had seen differently about The Matrix, I just got on you guys about going off topic, so let's just continue.
Go ahead.
Is that we saw it at the crappy theater that's the one that had it. Instead of the nice theater, we saw it in the old theater that was so old that, like, it was old.
Right.
It's like me and the drive-in. I love the drive-in experience, but I refuse to go to a movie that I want to see in the drive-in because of my situation.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, like, I wouldn't want to go see certain movies, but like we saw, had we seen World War Z a little differently from a different spot, I think it would have been fine.
Yeah.
I would have loved World War Z, but because of where we were at, we had cars driving in front of us the entire movie.
That sucks.
And that made it really difficult because the lot that it was in was full, so we were on the lot
the back
behind
side,
it.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. Yeah. So it was our fault because we got in that line. That was the first and only time we've ever shown up about 15 minutes before the movie started. Every other time we're there like 45 minutes early, and I'm like, let's go take a walk. We'll hang out for a while. That is the best thing to do. If it works out.
But Captain and Guardians of the Galaxy were ruined for me, but
no.
I digress. So books, I am starting the Mistborn series by Brandon Sanderson any day now.
Nice.
Why any day now?
Because I'm actually reading the RPG book that is based on his book series, which is thicker than his novels.
Nice.
Which is saying something. Mistborn has an RPG.
Oh, yeah.
We walked by the booth.
Is that like a cross between Myst, the video game, and the Robert Ludlum series Jason Bourne?
Nope, not at all.
Just checking.
Yeah, it's a it's sci-fi, it's a fantasy series where people eat metal to do magic.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
I could eat aluminum can and I could throw a fireball.
Aluminum has a specific effect.
Right,
it'd be hard on your digestive system.
Yes, it would. Except you burn up the metals in your system when you do the magic, so it's all right. It's a very interesting setting, and then I guess there are. I'm going to screw this up now. There are two or three books. I forget which order or how many he wrote. Where there's an evil despot ruler, and he's overthrown, and that's one arc, and then he's writing the next part of the world is coming out, and the evil despot emperor guy was. Holding back technology and knowledges of magic because he didn't want to get overthrown. Mm-hmm. But now that he's gone, technology and all the other kinds of magic available are exploding back into common knowledge. Mm-hmm. And it's a very steampunk fantasy setting.
Okay.
So from what I've read of the descriptions, because we got the RPG at Gen Con, I'm now into the book. Whereas the way my brother sold it made me think it was boring. But...
Patrick's not the best salesman.
Yeah, but you know, after reading the description, thinking, oh, that sounds kind of cool. Brandon Sanderson finished the Wheel of Time series. I was like, okay, I got to give him a shot. And then I read the RPG, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm in. So I'm gonna start that soon. That's about it.
I just about a week ago finished up Jurassic Park, which I had never read before. So go ahead and take my nerd card.
No, that's okay.
Because
that book has the pages in the middle with the numbers. That was not in the movie, and that blew my flipping mind.
So, on the 16th, we will be going to see Jurassic Park for my birthday, because it's $2 on the big screen.
Right.
I'm so excited. So I thought, if I'm going to go see this for my birthday, I might as well read the book. So I read the book, and it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So...
It's richer than the movie.
Oh, yeah. Well,
which, again, points back to the adaptation.
It's richer, it's different, it's better... In some places, it's worse.
Uh-huh.
I really want, Nedry does not have the villainous appearance that he has in the movie, because...
Well, but that's just Newman.
Yeah, Newman. I mean, not Newman, that's not the actor.
Yeah, I know.
But he brought a lot to that role. And looking at it, I actually wrote a review for Jurassic Park for the website. It'll go on Monday. Ian Malcolm, in the book, they're like, oh, he's charismatic, and I didn't get that. But Jeff Goldblum playing him.
Yeah.
Very charismatic. And I was like, oh, okay. So they did really good with casting on that.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing with, what's his name? Santa Claus.
Santa Claus?
Old man.
Oh, John Hammond. Oh,
yeah.
Recently.
He was really well cast. Yeah. So.
And my wife had a hissy fit, kick the laptop around the room for a couple of days. When they said that he passed away, and the big feeds that came out on the Twitter/Facebook-verse went, Hammond dies at the age of 92, best known for Jurassic Park. And it was like, oh, that guy's done some bigger stuff than, okay, Jurassic Park's what you want to call him. Okay,
honestly,
great.
When I look at him, I think, oh, he was in Jurassic Park. Like, that's the first thing I think of, but that's also, that was 93, so I was 11. Yeah. So that was a huge impact on me. Dinosaurs...
Yeah, I had seen other movies that he was in, but when he passed away, I went to his IMDb and didn't realize I had seen other movies he was in before Jurassic Park.
And other movies he directed.
Yeah.
I mean, he was well versed. I also just started rereading and reading Uncanny X-Force Volume 3, the one with Wolverine. Psylocke.
Volume 3.
I stopped at issue 28 because I knew that it had ended at issue 35 and I didn't want to read the rest of it. What's his name? What's his first name? Remeter? The writer for that.
No.
I don't know.
Fantastic. Just amazing. Some of the best comic books I've ever read. I mean, just in-depth characters from characters that aren't normally dealt with that way. There's depth in Wolverine that makes me want to read more about him. I mean, that's the kind of
stuff. That's what makes Wolverine really cool is the story.
But
saw his heart before you knew
it. But the thing is...
Nice.
The thing is, he's written the way that he was written in his first limited series, the Wolverine limited series that's all about Japan.
Right.
He's written in that very similar Rick Remender is his name.
Okay.
That's the art of the writer. So there's this concept behind Wolverine without all the I'm the best there is at everything that I do.
Ever. Well, but he does two things: Schnicked and regeneration.
No,
well, no. But when you ask the not normally closeted nerd, you're like, yeah, he just chops stuff up and you can't kill him.
Well,
and it's like, well,
as doesn't he have a sense of smell? Out,
yeah.
He's the one running the Jean Grey School for Higher Learning.
Right.
So,
but, I mean, there's a lot of backstory to him.
Yeah, so,
but,
I mean,
but most people are like, he's Wolverine, cut stuff up and he can't be killed.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of emotions in this. It's really, really well written. They wrote right Deadpool in a way that makes me like the guy.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he's still a complete jerk and goofy and off the wall, but he does it in a way that you're like, oh, well, this is a character who's clearly hiding all of his pain and torment behind all of this crap.
Right.
You never read any of the original Deadpool series.
I
should.
And that's the thing.
The
so, like, I think those are two characters that we could go on and on about this.
Right.
That their first original limited and occasionally here and there, they're really well written. But most of the time, they're just throwaway characters that people. They take the biggest stereotypes from those characters, and that's what they run with.
Right.
Jimmy Chungus.
Yeah. No, you're right.
So, Marvel did this Marvel Now thing where they were going to reboot a bunch of stuff,
uh-huh.
And it was Marvel Now, Uncanny Avengers. Ooh. Marvel Now, Thor, God of Lightning. Marvel Now, Jimmy Chungus.
Nice.
Yeah.
What does
that
even mean?
That is Deadpool's book. He loves Jimmy Chungus.
Oh.
So that's the two things I've been reading. So we'll smooth on over to podcast. John, you want to start us?
Sure. Let's see. So podcasts I've been listening to. The newest one is probably from Frog Pants. I just wrote a review about this one. Is it up on the site yet?
It'll go up Tuesday.
The Therapy Show with Wendy and Scott. Scott Johnson runs the Frog Pants Network. If you're a regular listener to our podcast, we've talked about him a lot, so I won't go into a whole lot of detail. But his sister is a actual real-life therapist, and they've put together a sort of a big topic self-help kind of show. They're doing 12 episodes a season. Season one got funded on Indiegogo a little while ago, so they're up to 7 episodes now. And they just talk about the things that are broad topics that can be covered and applied to a lot of people. And it's pretty interesting. It's given me a thing or two to think about here and there. But
well, that's an offshoot of their Therapy Thursdays on the morning stream.
It is, basically. Therapy Thursday.
Thought it was.
Yeah, Therapy Thursday is where they, on their morning stream, daily entertainment show, they have listeners write in and ask a question, and then Wendy gives her opinion based on the limited information that she has. The Therapy Show is an hour long, not like they may start with a specific question from a listener, but she goes into much broader discussion of things and usually gives you a couple places to go and find out more information. And
yeah, we
so
one. She's amazing. Every time she's on Therapy Thursday, I learned something.
Right.
And we met her at Nerdtacular, and she was really cool to meet. And listening to her talk to Scott and Justin Robert Young about the Shadow was really, really great. And
was that on the...
I don't know if that was on the on the panel there, or if that was just on the podcast one night.
And by the Shadow, you mean like Lamont Cranston, the Shadow?
Like,
Carl Jung's the Shadow.
Scott, I mean, Scott's just this good guy, and Justin Robert Young is also a good guy, but Justin Robert Young says all these things that Scott would never say, because Justin Robert Young embraces the Shadow, those darker places.
Okay, gotcha.
So.
Oh, you're talking about the Shadow self.
Right.
So anyway, and then... I've actually stopped listening to the How Did This Get Made. That's How Stuff Works.
Okay.
Not How Stuff Works.
What, you missed in history class?
The history one, the conspiracy one, and then the other one with the two guys.
It's How Stuff Works?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Anyway,
I've stopped listening to those because they did How Monopoly Works and How an Elevator Works. they've just seemed to hit the dregs of their topics. Like, I was into it for a long time, and they've really dropped off the map. So, yeah, I don't know if they'll hear this or not, but because they're running around in Canada now. So,
no, that's Discovery. They're in Atlanta.
This is who I'm talking about.
What?
The people in Canada. They're touring in Canada right now.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Okay.
They're in Canada running around right now doing a tour.
I got you. So
they probably won't hear this.
Yeah, well, they're also...
It'll get back to them, though, Johnny. Yeah, right. They're going to meet you in a dark alley somewhere with... Yeah, what's that about?
I have been listening to that stuff in music history class, and I'm only about 9 months behind now.
They're going to say, we're going to do two podcasts on you, Johnny. Here's how a lead pipe works, and here's how a stick with a nail driven through it works.
And here's how a hungry pig farm works.
Yeah. Right. Whoa. Yeah, so I got to say...
So they were the dregs, but after they meet you in that alley, I think we're going to have three solid podcasts come out of that.
Sounds like it. So, yeah, that's about it on podcasts.
Okay. So I've been listening to What You Missed in History Class for two reasons. One, I just love history, but two... I realized that that podcast is amazing for concepts for Cthulhu games.
Oh, yeah.
I saved eight episodes, and I'm like, I could write something all about this book that nobody can translate. That sounds great.
Nice.
Yeah.
Which has now been translated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, has it really?
Yeah.
That's lame.
Yeah.
I think... sorry, this is totally off topic.
Oh, of course. Go ahead. Go ahead, George. Quick digression.
I think... It's since we started playing Masks, and then we met Tiffany and Matt.
Yeah.
And, like, all of the things that you were talking about, and then how they've gone on their, like, history tours. Every time I hear something in the news, or see something, or we talk about something, I'm like, oh gosh, that could be, like, linked to Cthulhu in some way.
Stuff you should know. That's the how TV ratings work. How blimps work.
In all fairness,
that's okay.
TV
you
ratings.
You don't need to go through the list.
Yeah. And then I've also been listening to Good Job Brain, which is a a trivia podcast. Yep. I really enjoy that.
That one's good fun.
I've been on top of Top 5 for a while, although their Top 5 Express, I don't know if I care for that yet or not. And then I'm always, like, as soon as the Good Friends of Jackson Elias put something out, which you guys should not listen to, the three of you, not our listeners at home. Listeners at home, listen to as much as you want. You three shouldn't listen to it because they spoil Masks of Nyarlathotep all the time. Like,
oh, good.
They'll be like talking about, like, you be like in Masks of Nyarlathotep, right?
No, so Matt's talking about some god, and I'm like, I'm looking at him, like, kind of tilted head when we were playing 7th edition with him on Friday.
Wednesday.
It was Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Oh my god. Anyway, and he like looks at me, and I'm like looking at him, and I shoot Matt a look, and Matt was like, "Oh no, they haven't encountered that yet, or they missed that step, or something." And I'm like, "What is he not?"
Nice.
Yeah. So I listen to a lot. I'm way behind on stuff. I've also been listening to Alpha Geek Radio because they recorded all of the Kickstarter, the Nerdtacular, and the DragonCon podcast panels. So,
oh, cool.
Those have been really helpful and pretty good. I think that's about it. Only about 7 or 8. Scott, have you been listening to any podcasts?
All right. I generally listen to the Manager Tools podcast because I'm really trying to up my game at work. It's a really good podcast, manager-tools.com. They have a sister podcast that they do with a couple of the other members of the staff as well called Career Tools. Same thing, career-tools.com. They're more business related, but it's really, they're very lined toward, okay, if you're going to be in a professional career and you really want to know how things work and you really want to know why it is that, oh, I ended up in that dead-end job and this is why my manager's not going to give me a, you know, 25% raise and let me do everything. It really kind of hips you to, well, this is what the other side of the coin, this is what the managers all are looking at, thinking about doing. And if you have any qualms whatsoever about being, that you think, hey, maybe I want to be a manager, maybe I want to be an executive, maybe I want to get in the line to move forward in the people that do the hiring and the firing, it's really a good podcast to listen to get your feet into there and go, okay, that's why a manager came and dumped 15 things on my desk. Okay, that's not a bad thing, that's actually a good thing. And they have several different theories and things that they bring to the table that help you be a better employee, because you're listening to the managerial side of it and you're going, oh, okay, well, when I get those 15 things on my desk, that's not a bad thing because I'm already doing 15 things. Like, I can only do 15 things. But if they drop 15 things on my desk, well, now they have to tell me which of these old things that I'm doing have no value and I can stop doing. Mm-hmm. And I can go, okay, well, if this is the stuff that's really important, well, then you tell me what's not important, we'll stop doing that. So it's those types of things. And I would like to put a shout out. They have an interview series that's a 15-podcast series, and it's you have to pay for it. It's subscription-based, and it's not outrageously priced. But I will tell you this, listeners, and I wouldn't have believed it, before I bought the interview series because I was like, you know, all right, the stuff I've heard so far is good enough that I will pay for the interview series if I only have to listen to it once and just if I can pick two or three things out of it, I'll be great. Well, they have 15 or 16 podcasts in it, and every single one of them was like, holy cow, I got a page of notes and things that I really, really liked and stuff that I took away that was like, wow. Before I got the interviewing series that they had, I would go on two or three interviews in my career and get the job in one of them. Like, I'd have two or three interviews. Since I've gotten the interviewing series, I've had two different positions with two different companies over the last 5 years, and it has been one interview, hired. I mean, wow. The difference, as opposed to, you know, the five or six job I had before that, you know, you interview with this company, and then maybe a second interview, and no thanks. You interview with that company, and no thanks. You interview with this company, okay, we're good. And I believe that the way I interviewed previously, what I learned from the interview series that they put out, helped me get rid of problems that I was bringing to the table during the interview that had managers or hiring managers go, no, I'm all right, we're going to pass. And it really tightened things up supremely. It's a really good, it's worth the money. And you buy it once, you can, I went back. I spent 3.5 years at a job and then went, oh, good, they let me go. Great, well, I'm going to have to interview now. So I went back to their site, signed back in, downloaded it again, and listened to it and went, oh, got it.
How much it was?
I don't remember what it is off the top of my head. I can get back. We can put that in somewhere at a later date. Yeah.
So do you think it would be good for people that are interviewing within their same company to get to higher positions?
Absolutely.
And if you're not interviewing, it's still probably good skills.
Oh, yeah. Well, because they do an entire podcast on the, what's your greatest achievement? They do an entire podcast on when they say, gee, what's your greatest weakness? You know how they ask you, what's your greatest strength, what's your greatest weakness? Mm-hmm. They devote an entire podcast to that. Nice. They devote an entire podcast on how to write a thank you note. Mm-hmm. They're like, okay, let's talk about what you need to write it on, what you should buy for it. We're going to give you a template for how many sentences you should have, mm-hmm. how many times you get to say the word thank you, how you write each part. And they really break it down to nuts and bolts and go, if you want to write a thank you note, and everyone should, mm-hmm. then here's what you should include, here's how you should write it, and here's when you should deliver it.
Right.
And it's just one of those where you're like, they have, you know, all sorts of, when they go through the opening, the closing, all of the, they go through a group interview podcast, they go through, okay, well, once, as you get up, and they devote an entire podcast to, okay, the meeting's over, you're going to shake their hand and leave, this is what you need to do. And they really, really break it down to nuts and bolts, and it's powerful.
I think this is the same group, not that podcast, that did a whole podcast on how you shake hands with your superior and your underlings within mm-hmm. the same organization.
Yep. And
there's a difference.
Yep, and the podcast was how to shake hands.
There's a difference in how you approach it, how you introduce each other, how you introduce people, how you do this. I mean, it was really in-depth. I think that was like 35 minutes, but it was each step of the way telling you exactly how you do everything. So.
Oh, yeah. And they do everything in their podcasts from what you should, how you can dress professionally, what do you need in your wardrobe, to, you know, the different personality types that you'll run into at work, to, okay, they've
conflict
got...
management?
Oh, abs, they've got...
Oh, they've got
tons on it.
Honestly, awesome. They've got 41...
Yeah.
On conflict management.
And this is all free?
Yeah.
Well, except for the interview
really?
Stuff, yeah.
Right, the interview stuff is free. They've got an introduction to corporate life. Like, mm-hmm. in other words, this is your first office job. What should you expect?
Right.
Let's talk about the printers. Let's talk about security. Let's talk about your computer and the mm-hmm. fact that everybody puts their like, ooh, save that to my address book on my computer. Mm-hmm. And they say, every 6 months, you go in, or every 3 months, you go into your contacts and you print that out on a piece of paper. Because guess what? If you're fired tomorrow, the company's not going to let you get those off your computer.
Right.
If you don't have them at home, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just little things like, oh, I thought that would never happen to me. And 2 weeks later, they let you go and you go, oh, I've got all my names and numbers in my Rolodex at work or on my Outlook at work. And I'm going, okay.
Yeah.
Just little things. They've got podcasts on. Okay, so you're on LinkedIn or you're on Facebook and you know business people there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's how you keep that network fresh so that in case you need to look for a job,
right.
you're not that person that nobody's heard from in 3 years. And then they go, hey, Shirley, how's it been? You don't have any open positions at your company, do you? Because I'm a jerk and just need to use you to get a job. And they go through the whole thing. I mean, it's really a good site. I also did the resume workbook, which was another purchase. And I believe that my resume now is 50 times better than it was before. And I thought I had a really good resume before that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good stuff. It's worth the look.
Yep. So Shirley, you're kind of
Sorry. And podcasts. We put 4 in the can for the Marvel podcast last night.
So you're listening to those.
So I am listening to them because I have to edit them. I don't have the site for those, but well, we're starting up a new Marvel game podcast. It'll be in your inbox shortly.
All right.
For us, for the site.
In affiliation with Nerds Domain. Yes.
They will most likely be joining the Omega Nerds Network, assuming the Supreme Commander, that's me, of Omega Nerds Network. Right. They voted me in.
Cool.
Assuming we can pass it by the board, and I don't see why it would be a problem. So.
I didn't vote on him being Supreme Commander.
I don't remember that.
Would you vote against him?
He did buy our, like, he owns our votes. I mean, he just...
Right. No, you did vote for him. You just didn't know.
You voted for me twice, actually.
Nice.
we cheated when we didn't know
it. You voted here and in Oregon.
Yeah.
That's how it works. So Shirley, you're kind of a slacker on podcasts,
right? Yeah, I don't
that's all right.
Well, she doesn't have a job like me where I can sit and listen for 8 hours and not talk to anybody.
I'm like, the phone rings every 2 minutes at my job and somebody's sending an email and somebody's coming up to the desk and somebody's this and somebody's that. So, no.
I found that the best way to just handle that is to put noise canceling things in your ears and just ignore them. They'll throw things at you eventually. Oh, wait, no, that's only at Adidas. I will be editing that out.
Moving on. Don't edit that.
So, games. Sure.
Can I go first?
No. Yeah, go ahead.
I hate you. Did we already do apps? Was I actually for that part?
We have not done apps.
Did I go to the
What is the order of our reviews?
Okay, anyway.
Okay, it's
games.
Monday,
so we're on to
games.
Tuesday's what?
Games.
Let's go to games.
Okay, so we got like a ton of games at Gen Con.
She didn't want to say that, people. Go ahead.
I wonder what a ton of butts look like.
Really? You're going to go to wait? Don't go to wait. I'm a big man. Let's move on.
Go ahead.
Okay, anyway. And we've played the Battlefront Armies from Ares Games, which was really cool. It's kind of got that Risk feel. I really like it. We played Dark Gothic. From
Flying Frog.
I keep wanting to say Flying Frog Pants, but it's not.
It's not.
Mm-hmm. Flying Frog Production, and I don't know. I really, really liked it. It's a deck building game. I'm starting to like deck building games more often than just regular tabletop games. It felt very much like not Legendary. What's the other one?
DC Deck Builder.
Kind of like DC, it felt very much like DC Deck Builder, but there was more of a, you actually got to build more of the story as you're building your deck and defeating the monsters.
And the concept is built around hunting monsters.
Yeah.
So it's a gothic horror, like...
I wrote a review about it, that's why I'm not saying that much.
Yeah, you should definitely check out the review, which goes up... I want to say Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yes.
There's a lot of games going up. I don't remember when I schedule all of them.
And then I'm very much looking forward to Upon a Fable by Discami Publishing. Mm-hmm. We haven't played that yet. And Livestock Uprising, which I can't remember who that's from.
That is Dogmite.
Dogmite.
Discami was great. We got Worker Placement, the Worker Placement game. And, like, went back the next day after we played a couple of rounds of it. And we were like, we love your game. We're going to totally review it. Just wanted to let you know it was great. And they were like, you want another game? I was like,
what?
Okay, I guess.
So we got Upon a Fable, and it looks really... It's fantasy based.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to expand a little bit on two armies. It is based on five armies. It is based on the Battle of the Five Armies from The Hobbit. And so you have two sides. One is the men, dwarves, and elves, and the other side is the orcs and goblins.
And bats.
And, well, yeah. And so there are different ways that you can do stuff. You have to roll dice to see what actions you can do. So the dice will come up with a helmet, and you can do helmet actions, and it tells you exactly what they are. So it's on the elves, dwarves, and men to stop the orcs and goblins, and it's on the goblins to get the victory points. So there's a time limit built in. It's really good. I really, really liked it. We had a lot of fun with it. It's a longer game once the first time, probably.
There's a lot of setup.
There is a bit of setup.
Because there's, like, pieces.
Yeah. And it's never going to play the same way twice. So that's a big one. We also got Heroes Wanted, which has been fantastic. You can check out our Instagram.
Yeah, I was going to mention in that because, you know, Matt is all about Heroes Wanted.
I am quiet. Show, quiet with an extra T, Q-U-I-E-T-T, on Instagram. You should check that out. For our pictures of that, we've had a lot of fun with that.
Mm-hmm.
What else have we haven't played much else. Oh, I got to play Marvel Dice Masters. It was interesting. Not sure if I like it or not.
Oh, we went to the game day. Oh, yeah. Shadow Hunters? By who's that? I don't even know.
I don't
that
know.
Was
I didn't...
It was so much fun. It's a game based. You are. It's kind of like Werewolf, but you get this card, and you're not allowed to show anybody. There's hunters. There's neutral people, and then there's the shadow guys, which are the bad guys, and you have to go around the table and figure out who the shadow is, who are the neutral people, and who are the hunters. So that you can kill the shadows, and when the shadows are killed, the game is over. So, but depending on the amount of people that are sitting at a table will depend on the amount of players.
Yeah.
I really like that one. Go ahead.
And then I played the DC Deck Builder Crisis Mode.
Oh my gosh.
Which was terribly difficult and, like, made us cry.
Well,
it wouldn't have been so long had we had different players. It was so instead of your normal DC deck builder where, you know, you buy some stuff and you fight a villain and you do some stuff, no big deal.
Right.
This one is, oh, well, you've got a crisis and you've got a villain. Crisis says the Arkham escape is all the villains in the lineup, beginning of your turn, their attacks happen to you.
Yeah.
To get rid of it, you have to discard your whole hand twice and stand on your head. Like, it's ridiculous things that hurt you. One of them was like, destroy three cards. They have to be of different types. None of those types can be starter.
Wow.
Yeah. So then once you beat the crisis, then you can fight the villain. And the villains are on impossible mode. So instead of like, oh, I'm the Joker, I'm 10 to buy, and I don't do a whole lot. No, I'm the Joker, I'm 13 to buy, and I make you cry every night.
Wow.
Like, crisis mode was way harder.
Yeah.
We talked to Adam from Cryptozoic, and he said that they have like their top players for DC Deck Builder. They gave it to them as a playtest, and they lost the first two or three times they played, and like couldn't figure out how to ramp it up quick enough and do all this stuff.
Did we win?
No, we lost terribly.
Oh, okay.
No, we ran out of a deck. I've never run out of a deck in that.
That's how we lost.
40 cards to the deck.
Yeah.
Ow.
We still ran out of deck, so we ran out of 200 cards.
Yikes.
So it was a lot of fun. We enjoyed that, and that was interesting.
Died horribly, but it was fun.
Yeah, John, have you been playing anything?
Well, my brother Patrick got Sentinels of the Multiverse Vengeance.
Yeah.
Do you have that one?
Nope.
No, it's a good one. Basically, it's a mega expansion to Sentinels of the Multiverse, meaning you can play it out of the box. You don't have to have the core set, but it helps if you have the core set. So, there are time traveling multiverse characters in this. The hero Tachyon from the base game is the villain Friction in the Vengeance game.
Really?
Yeah, and I believe I didn't read his bio, but I believe Bunker also becomes Freight Train. because there's a guy that's wearing train-themed armor. Mm-hmm. No? It's not the same guy?
It's not the same guy.
Okay, they look very similar. They do. But I do know that Tachyon becomes Friction.
I believe it's,
she's an alternate universe.
I believe it's Freight Train, actually.
Nice.
No, it's Freight Train.
Okay.
But, whatever. Anyway, we played several heroes from the base game because four of the people at the table had never played it before. I played a new guy who was a shapeshifter. And we fought the original Baron Blade on the mobile defense platform as our environment. So that was a lot of fun. There was an engine, turbine engine, keeping the thing aloft, and it had 10 hit points. If it was destroyed, you lose the game because the mobile defense platform crashes and you die. Andrew was playing the character Tempest, who does massive damage
everywhere.
So he was like, I'm going to never mind because that would destroy the engine. I'm going to never mind because that would destroy the engine. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Vengeance is one I haven't picked up. In Cosmic. They have a new one that they just finished pre-orders on. That's coming out in December. Heroes of the Cosmic or something.
Right.
Wrath of the Cosmos.
Yeah, that's it. My internet was messed up.
Any other?
I haven't played it yet, but I'm getting into Mistborn. It's actually a really fun system. It's very storyteller driven. You do have physical, mental, social stats, but then there are other traits that you assign to your character. You can be a fencer, world class fencer, or sharpshooter or whatever, and then use those to add dice to your dice pool. The basic system is you build a dice pool off your stat, figure out any bonus dice you add to that, and then hope you get a pair of some sort, and that it's high enough to meet what you want to do.
Okay.
So it's very simple, but the more flavor you add to your character, the better you will be, the more functional you will be. So it's a great system. If you like Fate or Savage Worlds, it's very comparable to that.
Okay.
The only problem I have with it is that the book is thicker than most novels that I pick up. They could have used another two or three passes by an editor because they're redundant. They tell you what a trait is, they tell you how you might use a trait, and then they tell you how to actually use the trait. And meanwhile, duplicating the sections that happened previously. So you read the same text three times before you get to the end. A little annoying, but this book is good. The system is good. Or the setting is good. The system is good. The book could use a little more editing, but what are you going to do?
Right on. Scott?
Adventure Maximus.
How'd that go?
Sat down with the 9 and 6-year-old. The game seems like it would play well. It played well, but then it got sort of derailed. The session we were playing, we're going to play it again tomorrow.
Was that by players or by...
That was by players who kind of got sidetracked into, I want to draw my character. Like, there's a spot on the thing where I can draw my character, so leave me alone while I draw my character.
So it's really not the game's fault.
It was really not the game's fault. The game played actually very, very well with the round and a half that we got through. It's a 3-round game where you actually draw cards for your race, you draw cards for your abilities, you draw cards for your spells, and you draw three, pick one. So that's really, really nice. So it builds you a character, and then each of those come with their own stats and abilities, and that's great. And once you've done that, then you draw two challenges, which are, things to overcome, and then one boss. And the boss has more treasure and more abilities and more skills. And we didn't make it to the boss because that kind of got side railed, and then one player got up and wandered away to go play with something else. So we're gonna focus a little bit, and Daddy's gonna run it a little quicker this time. But
nice.
But that was fun. And then my son, for his 9th birthday, got a game on the Xbox called Terraria. Don't know if anyone out there has heard of this one. It is a world building game like Minecraft, only it's 2D. And in order to gather, it's 2D, so it's you move back, forth, up, and down. Okay,
so like Zelda, the original Zelda game,
yes,
down view but 2D.
Well, no, it's a side view, and you're on the surface, and you can mine down like Dig Dug,
Dig Dug,
Mario. Okay,
sure.
And you get you have to mine different ores, tin, lead, copper, gold, silver, to make different armors. You can find little life gems that increase your full life health. You can catch falling stars that increase your mana. And the goal is, you search around and find all these different biomes, and then you find a dungeon, and to go into the dungeon, you have to beat the big bad boss. And once you beat the boss, you can go down the dungeon where it's horribly difficult to play, and things want to kill you there immediately. I thought, what a kid doing, I don't care. It's sort of like Dig Dug meets Minecraft meets old school D&D.
Okay.
Huh.
It's
Terraria.
So Terraria. T-E-R-R-A-R-I-A. Terraria. Okay. What'd you say?
I said so it's boring and hard to understand the rules.
No. Actually, I put in about 9 hours the first time I played it. I was like, the kid went to bed and I was like, okay. Okay. So I need to get some armor and I get some extra stuff and I got recipes because you start with a workbench and then you build a furnace and then you build an anvil and then there's a sawmill and a loom and a thing that you got to buy all these other.
It's a loom.
So then you got to build all these things to make these recipes to build these other things, and then some items are enchanted with pluses or modifiers or extra bennies, and so you're stacking up armor. And one of the nice things is they have. You go to your equipment page, and they've got perk items that you can put, like Boots of Hermes. They make your character run faster.
Oh.
And they're bonuses and benefits, like Cloud in a Jar. Okay?
Cloud in a Jar.
Cloud in a Jar lets you jump, and then you get a second jump, so you could double jump. Instead of, normally you just get one jump, and you're done. Which is really, really nice for, I'm falling, double jump. Oh, okay, look, I survived the fall, yay, it's a way to reduce fall damage, that kind of thing. You have a grapple that can grapple onto the wall, so you can literally Spider-Man up passages that you've... So I dig straight down, which is not always the best, much like Minecraft. And then I can just spider-climb my way back up, which is sort of nice. But on your equipment page, you've got the buffs or your extra bennies at the bottom. You've got buffs that are active on the top. Like if you put down a campfire, it actually increases your healing by a little bit. So you regenerate your life over time, and it kicks that up. Then they've got your armor. You can have a helmet, a main torso piece, and greaves, some sort of boots. Then on the other side of your character, they have a vanity slot, where if you're wearing all gold armor, you could put on the rain outfit on top of your gold armor, so that you've got the benefits of your gold armor, but you look like you're wearing a rain hat, a raincoat, and rain boots. Okay? When the sun goes down and it becomes night, that's when zombies and bad things come, like zombies and skeletons and things come out, just like the googlies in Minecraft. They come out and try to, you know, attack where you're at. Well, in the different biomes, like if you go over to the snow biome, it's zombie Eskimos.
Nice.
If you go, so they've got, you know, they're these themed, you know, and we killed one time and it dropped a zombie Eskimo coat, so I could dress like an Eskimo. You know, there were all kinds of interesting, and it was. I thought this was just going to be a completely dumb game, and I've played it probably more than the boy has.
Isn't that the way?
Yeah. It's really, really a fun. It was $15 on the Xbox. I thought, yeah, go ahead, you know. That's the one thing he really, really wanted for his birthday. I'm like, sure. It is a fantastic game. It is really good.
What systems can it be played on?
I know it can be played on Xbox 360.
Okay. Terraria?
Terraria. I'm pretty sure it can be played on the other platforms too.
Yeah.
I know they have a PC version of it that's a lot more involved than the console version.
Okay.
But the console version was just addictive as all get out. I mean, I was stunned at how much I liked playing it.
Do you know the size of the download?
It was fast. I mean, it was like 300 meg.
That's not bad.
I mean, it wasn't bad at all. I mean, it was just like, oh wow, really? Because it's more 8-bitty type graphics.
Yeah.
But you know, you get a pickaxe and mine your way through, and then if you go down far enough, you dig into what's called the underworld.
Mm-hmm.
The dungeon beats you down. The underworld makes the dungeon look like a cakewalk. It was just like, first thing I did was I dug too far and went splat and fell like another, you know, the map so far to get, you know, 400 meters down was this far, and I fell half of that in the underworld. And went, okay, first of all, I need to find a way not to die. Okay. And once I got down there, things just started beating my behind.
just every time I went, I was like, okay, I'm going to put that on hold and go do the dungeon first. I'll do this in the order.
So the perspective on it is, like, in Minecraft, I know you're, like, walking around and you look down and you see a flower. You said it's sideways. Uh-huh. Like, how close is it? Is it, like...
Your guy's about this big. Your guy's about an inch tall.
Donkey Kong or
it's
something like that when you're
Donkey Kong Mario.
Okay.
And it's in that sort of scale.
Yeah.
And you build little shelters. And when you build a house that has walls, a door... that has a standing structure,
mm-hmm.
walls, a door, a chair, a workbench, and a light source.
You see all of it from the side?
Then you see all of it from the side. And then once you do that, and you progress enough, an NPC will move into the house. So the more houses you build, the more NPCs can come in. And one NPC is a shop owner
mm-hmm.
who will sell you stuff. Another NPC is a healer. Another NPC is the dye manufacturer. Another NPC is the demolitions guy who sells you bombs and dynamite and grenades. And they've done a huge mix of space weapons, fantasy weapons, fish weapons, like fish-related stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting because during the day, if it starts to rain, it'll get cloudy and dark.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sea creatures, like the goldfish that swim around in the little lakes and ponds, can get up and walk around.
Whoa.
Because they're like, oh, it's wet enough out, we're good. And so it's got this really sort of comical, freaky, weird element to it that's also a lot of fun.
Wow.
It's good stuff.
All right, well, let's move on and go with apps. And Scott, would you like to start with apps?
Trello is always the coolest app ever. I've used it more because I've gotten back into work. You like Trello?
I love
apps. Nerd's Domain is friends to Trello, is that it?
You know who? I have 12 free months.
Boom.
You know who doesn't like Trello? My writers.
Really?
Because on the day that I assign them 2 months worth of work,
it goes
bling,
bling, bling, bling. You know how you don't like getting those invites?
Mm-hmm. You know, you can go into the sidebar settings and change that notification. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, mine.
What am I supposed to be helpful here? Oh. I thought you were supposed to help people.
I don't do that on mine because I need to know when people do stuff. So
right.
When it feels like, oh, I don't need to worry about all this stuff that's way past due. Like, I'm going to archive it all. I'm like, go for it. And then it's like, all this stuff got archived. And I'm like, oh, jeez. No,
yep.
Trello's awesome.
Yeah, Trello's fantastic.
Apps you've been
using a lot? Let me look on my phone here real quick.
Yahoo
and I will tell you. What's that?
Yahoo Fantasy?
Okay, can I talk about one?
Go ahead. Park Mobile's always good. Go ahead.
This is more than I really haven't been using anything productive except for Trello because you make me do that. Anyway, but I've been playing a game called Trexels, and it's based on Star Trek. And actually, George Takei does some of the voiceovers in the game. It's pretty cool.
That game is terrible.
It is not terrible. I love it. It's put out by Yes Gnome, and I downloaded it so I could review it. So I won't tell you everything about it, but it's really cool. I've watched people play Tiny Towers, and it kind of looks, it has that feel to it where you're an admiral, and you have to pick your crew. So you pick a captain and the rest of your crew, and the premise of the game is that the Valiant has been destroyed in an unknown star system, and you have to go find out what happened to the Valiant and the crew, and if you can rescue them and whatnot. So you build your starship, and you have to build like security and all of the different levels of it, and you build it like you build your crew, and that gives you, when you have a certain number of crew, that gives you the ability to build more like ops and things like that. So, I've been playing it for a couple of days now, and
Trex.
Trexels, Trexels, I think.
It's by the same company that makes.
But
towers.
What I love about it the most is I have an iPhone, and I'm so jealous because Johnny always gets these notifications on his phone that goes, you know, like from Star Trek, and I can't have that on my phone because I would have to pay for it, and I'm cheap, so I don't pay for it. So I did the push notification for Trexels. And it does that. So every time it notifies me.
So you got a few yeah. sounds.
So
from
every
Star
time
Trek.
It notifies me that one of my missions is done or one of my crew member did something, then that's the sound I get. And I was really happy about that.
Any other apps, Scott?
Okay, now.
Yeah. I've got one app that I downloaded that I really like.
A doorbell? That's amazing.
It's a doorbell.
Okay.
I don't know if you can...
Yeah, we can hear it.
If you have a dog, and your dog's just laying there, and you decide to go... He goes running to the front door, and the entire room of kids start laughing, and your wife will yell at you, and then the dog will run out and look out the front window and be like, what, where is it? I know where they came from over here. Huh. And then he'll try to kind of trot back into the room, and you go, and they'll run for the front door again, and then about the third or fourth time the dog comes back into the room, I like to go like this, and the dog will look at me like you are messing with. Oh, so that was a lot of fun.
And then 20 minutes later, it all starts again.
Because the dog forgot. But it was your wife will chastise you if you use that to mess with the dog. The kids will think it's hysterical, and you will think it's funny too because it's in that nerdy, geeky way you're messing with the dog.
Yeah, he lost me. If you have a dog,
right?
All right, Shirley. Anything else?
No, Trek Souls is the only thing that I've been doing so far. Okay. I mean, I've been doing, like,
nice.
Nothing really. It's Trek Souls.
John?
I have only gotten one new app since we last had one of these. That's ridiculous, I know. But
it must be called... an iPhone thing, because I can't get it on Android.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yep.
It's called Monsters Legend. It is a... it's basically a farming game, except what you're farming are Pokemon-style monsters that, as you feed and battle them, they get experience and go up in level and change form. You can breed the monsters. You breed most of the monsters, except for the legendary types, which, you know, are legendary and difficult to get. So
yeah,
they make you...
iPhone.
Search for that, though.
I spelled it wrong. It's not
I did. I did the one X. It's a negative.
So, anyway.
Sorry.
Monster Legends is fun. It doesn't have the walk around, explore the world thing that Pokemon does, but it has the monster breeding and feeding and so on and so forth. It's, you know, free to play, but then if you want to be really good at it, they want you to spend money and buy gems to get your food grown faster, to get your monsters battling faster, and so on and so forth. But, you know, that's pretty typical nowadays. But if you like Pokemon, like I do, it's not a horrible game.
Yeah, I don't follow Pokemon, sorry.
That's to each their own.
I have been using Yahoo Fantasy.
Yeah.
Since, you know, I had a football draft.
Nice. I didn't get into fantasy football this year. I'm kind of bummed.
What? Not at all?
Not at all.
We could have, if you would have told me like before Wednesday, we could have had a draft.
Oh, really?
I could have thrown together a fantasy. I mean, we did fantasy hockey last year, for God's sake.
Ugh.
Yeah. Let me tell you about that.
No,
fantasy
that's okay.
Football, easy compared to
fantasy hockey. Oh, yeah.
Because some guys have two or four or three games a week, and you can trade them in and out of your lineup as the week goes by. Oh, that's terrible.
No, thanks. Yeah.
So I've been using Yahoo Fantasy. My wide receiver that played with Thursday night did not do as well as I would have liked. But he will...
I keep falling off my roster for some reason.
Yeah, Shirley had both of her kickers get dropped from their teams.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
Like, Seattle was without a kicker.
Oops.
For a couple of days. That was one of her kickers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did that. I've also been playing Angry Bird Epics, or Angry Birds Epic, which is interesting. It's a sword and sorcery style game, and instead of throwing birds at stuff through a slingshot, you actually have the red bird, who's kind of a knight, and the yellow bird, who's kind of a wizard, and the white bird, who's the cleric, and the cleric heals, and the wizard does lightning, and the knight makes sure everybody focuses on him. It's a departure from all the Angry Bird stuff in style, but aesthetically, it looks exactly the same.
Oh, okay.
So it's actually surprisingly fun. I would suggest it if anybody's interested in that kind of
cool
light RPG kind of style thing. I think that's it for apps. I haven't been doing a lot. Trello. I'm on Trello all the time.
Yep.
I'm on Trello a lot of the time.
Because it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think like the only other ones that I'm on all the time is Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah. Well, those aren't real apps. Those are just websites that happen to have an app.
Yeah, I got to get on Twitter and start doing the twats.
The what?
It's tweets.
The tweets.
Not if you follow Kathy Griffin.
No.
She calls them twats.
I thought that was the people who were using.
No, Twitter. They're
Scott,
they put out.
You get two of them. That's it.
Okay. Then I can't discuss this anymore on this podcast. That's you. Go to Kathy Griffith. Do search Kathy Griffith space that word, and it's not only funny, but she's like, yeah. So I was following so and so's news, and there it is.
Awesome. So let's move on to movies. Scott, what have you been watching?
Movies.
Have you seen Frozen lately?
We just watched today. We watched the Cinderella story from 2004 with Hilary Duff in it.
Oh, that was awesome, wasn't it?
That was a decidedly mean movie. Just saying. I mean, it followed. There was a little deus ex machina at the end. I was really sort of saddened that the story couldn't have been a little bit better. But then we just movies. We're not on TV shows yet. So
movies and TV. Go ahead.
Movies and TV. Oh, movies and TV. First of all, I want Deadwood back. I want more of that. Second of all, I finished Chuck. I binge watched the entire five seasons. That was a really good show.
Yeah.
I was really surprised, and I only started binge watching Chuck because I finished the entire series of Firefly and the movie Serenity with my wife, and I wanted more
Adam Baldwin.
So I went to Chuck and binge watched all five seasons of that because we only got into like season two, and watching all five, I was very happy with the way. And the final episode, I was really pleased with the way they did it. They didn't just. Oh, it's all fixed. They kind of left it of, oh, they're gonna have to work on this.
That's all on Netflix.
I binged watch season five of The League in a day because it came out.
Down.
It came out, and I was like, oh. So I watched that. It was good.
Yo, Magoya,
Chalupa Batman. So one of the funniest episodes I ever saw was the one where Taco is
that you don't you just stop.
Where Taco does not partake for like a week. And he's like, wow, you know, I just came to realize, like, there's all this, the world is so sharp and clear. I don't know how you people do it. It's wonderful. So I just started with The Boy, and we're five episodes into Robotech, the entire series. The old school Rick Hunter, like Robotech.
You know, like the Japanese Robotech or the American Robotech that was Macross and Robotech.
The Macross, yeah. Macross, Southern Cross, right, and then... Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. I just love that story.
Right,
know,
right.
Of how they
and
screwed that up.
Min-May, and they... Yeah. La, la, na, na, na. Anyway, she started singing. It's okay. It's all good. So we did that. Downton Abbey. You watch Downton Abbey? Downton Abbey?
Not yet.
It is... Give it three episodes.
We have a line of things we're working through.
And by episode, start Downton Abbey, and you will just kick the rest of that line to the curb until you've watched all four seasons of Downton Abbey on Amazon Prime, and you'll be drooling for more. We binged watch.
See the promo photo that came out with
with the water bottle in it. Yeah, there are people who are now saying they did that on purpose just to get the attention.
News, yeah.
We watched both seasons of Vikings, and we're kind of peeved that Vikings is not coming back until next year.
Yeah, they're filming third season right now.
Right, right.
I follow most of the cast on Twitter and someone.
Vikings was amazing.
Yes.
We are binge watching to the end of season two of Defiance, which was really, really good.
It's a little slow to start out. The first couple of episodes are a little slow and a little rough, and I kind of lost me.
I gave it four episodes, and by the end of episode four, I was like, I am in.
Well, at the end of episode one, I was like, you know, this is a good concept. They need to refine some things. They need to speed some stuff up.
It gets better.
I keep watching, and then I watched, I think, the second one. And then the third one, we were watching it as it came out, and I was just like, what day were we supposed to watch that again? Because I hate live TV.
Right. Yeah, because commercials suck.
No. It's because... Friday or Monday at 8, I might want to do something else.
Yeah, you think? Yeah.
I love Tony Curran's character. I've kind of followed him as an actor for a while. He's the vampire guy.
The vampire guy.
Yeah, they're vampires.
The vampire guy?
The race that's the blondes.
The Cassethans? Yeah.
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 He's a vampire guy.
Day Tactar?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tommy Curran is amazing.
Spoilers, guys. Spoilers.
I was just saying.
No, that's not spoilery. That's not spoilery. Spoilery, you get to like episode 3, that's not spoilery.
Yeah.
Anymore, there is no spoilery.
Thank you.
So,
besides Vince Gilligan says 2 weeks, and there's no more spoiler.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the rule?
That's his rule.
What?
Nice.
2 weeks
when we were watching, we were watching.
Two weeks. Oh,
oh yeah, you're anyway. I like that. I like that a lot. I think I'm going to adopt that because I had a row. I had a row with a Game of Thrones person. I haven't read that yet, and I haven't watched season 4 yet. So you can't tell me anything about it. I was like, the book's been out for a year and a half. I can tell you everything about it. Do you know who dies at the Purple Wedding?
The first book.
He was like, "What?"
The first book came out in 91. Done.
I was like, and you have enough time to have read it by now. If you haven't read it by now, that's okay. You can easily come on this podcast and go, you might want to take my geek card because I haven't read it yet. And we will go, oh, okay, I understand that. Now you get props for saying so. But if you're like, the book came out in 91 and you're just like, oh, no. You know, Sean Bean's character dies in the first episode or the first season of Game of Thrones. Thanks for playing. Ned Stark gets dead.
We're caught up on the TV.
So, if anybody doesn't know that already, you don't get spoiler alerts for that.
Okay.
But we were side by side watching Dominion and Defiance. Dominion was too slow. I just couldn't. We got 6 or 7 episodes in. It was like,
what's Dominion?
It's the one with Michael the Githy, the Archangels, and Las Vegas, and they're fighting the war against humanity. Only not as good. It was really
the one with the special baby and all the
the prophecy and all of that. Yeah, it was on right after Defiance.
That sounds like the prophecy.
So we were like, let's try it, and
is it bad though?
It gets bad
because my thing was Defiance, sci-fi original. I went, crap.
Battlestar Galactica was a sci-fi original.
No, it wasn't. NBC, sir. That was NBC. Caprica was a sci-fi original.
Which I'm bummed that they canceled that. I really wanted to see more of that.
Battlestar Galactica?
Caprica.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I got to the end of the season.
And you're like, yes!
Okay.
And I was like,
so,
what?
Also watched, you're asking what I watched, right?
Yeah, I know.
Sharknado
2.
Oh, no.
Sharknado 2, the second one. Had a live tweet going on as it aired. It was probably one of the most enjoyable evenings that I have had in a long time.
The mass games rate so low.
It was a horrible television experience. So bad that I loved every minute of it. It was terrible.
I think that's what I love about Defiance is that they have the live tweets going on during the episode.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's fun.
We will move on. I will go next because I'm going to make sure I prompt Shirley so I get in first.
Hey, Matt, what have you seen lately?
So we watched the Star Wars series in the proper machete order.
What did you think about the machete order?
So this is 4-5-2-3-6.
Right.
With the concept, and this is for the listeners, the concept that almost everything in episode 1 is re-explained in episode 2, so you don't need to watch it and you can skip it.
Except that stupid M word and that Jar Jar Binks.
I would argue that there are a couple of concepts in episode 1 that are important to later, like, okay, it's not important later, but you should really watch the Qui-Gon Obi-Wan Darth Maul fight because it's fantastic.
Oh, it's a good fight.
Really. Like, if you could just edit that together and just watch that, that'd be I'm okay with that.
And that's on YouTube.
And the concept of Anakin being born of midichlorians, because they don't explain that enough in 2 and 3. They kind of
that word should never be mentioned, and you only get 2, so you've said it once.
Only because in episode 3 there are some concepts there that go around the M word.
Why aren't we saying
that word? Because it's horrible.
Say it one more time.
Bastardization of. Star Trek.
Can I finish?
Star Wars. Anything with a star. Go ahead.
That give me the concept that not only is Anakin the father of Luke Skywalker, but he's clearly the son of Emperor Palpatine.
No.
Because Palpatine says, I've even heard. This is my second one. That the midichlorians can be manipulated to produce life. And I know how to do it.
No.
That's what he says. I swear to you, we just watched this.
He said it. I'm not denying that the line is in the movie because I remember it.
I think that he put Anakin and potentially other children out there to eventually corrupt them to the dark side so that he could wipe out the Jedi.
You think that he had time in his bid to overthrow the galactic government to go out to these outer rim worlds?
Because he planned that far ahead that, you know, when he set up the clones, because that was him too, he went ahead and got these guys set up too.
See, and my thought was that Senator Palpatine and Emperor Palpatine that we see in Jedi, that one of them was either M-word created or a clone, and they were not the same person.
No, they're the same person.
My thought was, okay, if there are two of them, then he's over here being all senatory, while the dark side is teaching Darth Maul and doing all of that, and Count Dooku and all of that.
In the now defunct extended universe, that is actually what happens. There is a vat of clones.
Yes.
That the Emperor moves his mind into.
Which may or may not actually exist anymore. They're very, like, the extended universe has been canceled and gotten rid of, but they haven't come right out and said that it doesn't exist anymore.
If George Lucas didn't work on it, it's no longer the extended universe, is the official statement.
So what
they could rehash it.
The Ewok movies are extended universe?
They have George Lucas' name on them.
But what killed me with the extended is the Grand Admiral Thrawn series was really good. I liked that. The Tenet Zahn stuff.
It was brilliant.
It was brilliant.
So the concept behind watching them in this order is you see 4 and 5, learn that Luke's father is Darth Vader, and then see the flashback. And so it's more impactful emotionally when Vader turns.
Well, and then you see when Anakin in the whole cloaked dark thing rolls up and starts just mutilating people is mirrored in Jedi when Luke rolls up on Jabba's palace, and you're going, he's kind of just white. Whoa, okay.
Yeah.
The it was more impactful. I actually got more out of the films than I had before. The whole Sidious being here and everywhere, whether Johnny agrees with it or not, I think that it at least adds something to the character and makes him more dangerous than I expected him to be before, because it just essentially was, oh yeah, he's manipulating everything, and now he's Emperor, and then he cuts everybody's heads off. Like, there was more before that. There was a lot more lead up that I just didn't attribute that way.
But you've not watched Star Wars The Clone Wars TV series, where they go and find the Jedi who actually ordered the first batch of clones, and he says that Sidious mind tricked him and forced him to do that.
Didn't they say Sidious is dead?
He's not. He appears in the Clone Wars series.
Yep.
And you're right.
He's captured. He's locked away.
And the two reasons why the Phantom Menace should be stricken from all record, number one is Jar Jar Binks, and whoever came up with that concept should be put to death as a human being.
Why?
So George Lucas's kids need to die?
Yes,
opinion?
Absolutely. Okay. Whoever it was that's responsible for Misa gonna die should die. And number two is early they're fighting the Droidicas, and they go, oh, look, Jedi super speed. Yay! And they go, boom, down the hallway, and they're gone. And then in that epic battle between Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, and Darth Maul, which was worth the price of admission, I will put it to you right there, when those doors open and it's like, we'll take care of this, you think. Obi-Wan's running up on the shields that go and stop the reactor, and didn't go, boom, I'm in the fight.
Mm-hmm.
Qui-Gon didn't have to die, because I could have run super speed, did it before, and they should do it again.
They still could have had that exact thing happen, just add some effect that lets you know, oh, he's in super speed mode. He still missed it by a hair.
Yeah, and the last one closes on it.
Yeah,
that would have been great.
Been fine. Yeah, but
because then I'd have been like, oh, I have no objections to this movie at all, other than the
Jar Jar.
Yeah.
Okay,
so we're
going
to move.
Okay, sorry.
We're just digressing a lot.
Yes, it's a long podcast.
We're going to skip the next segment after this and just end it after the movie.
Which is what? What's the next segment?
The conversation about Gen Con.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that in another
part. We watched that. We watched Mad Max, which I watched once before, but I hadn't sunk in.
Mm-hmm.
I reviewed that for the site. I think I gave it like 3.5.
I like Mad Max's dog.
It's slow.
It's on Netflix now, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Ironically, I own Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, so I have to go find the second one. Because... you know, and then Fury Road is coming out next year, which we will talk about more.
Wait for that.
Which we will talk about more next week, or we talked about more last week. Trust me, future people.
Yeah,
we talked about movies coming out next year. Last week, when this comes out.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed Mad Max, but it was a little slow. And there were some other problems, but it was made on a $300,000 budget. and it was clear that it was made on a $300,000 budget, but it was still a good movie. I think it was really well done for essentially a director's first attempt.
Oh, yeah.
Although, go back and watch it, Mel Gibson looks so young and is so Australian.
Yeah.
And so not crazy yet.
Yeah, yeah, this is true.
But you see it.
Yeah, you see it coming. You're like, oh, you know, if I knew then what I know now, I'd have seen that coming.
We are currently watching Fringe. We just followed up finished up season one of The Following, which was awesome. You should go watch The Following.
Okay.
Following was pretty good.
We are working towards finishing up Fringe so we can start Dexter. Notice how there's a line here.
Yeah.
That I'm not skipping.
Right.
Deadwood ended exactly the way it should have, and I hate them for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
For the record. It's the worst ending ever.
Only because it ended.
Yeah, I've been watching The Sopranos because I'd only watched the first season and did not care for it. And I went back and gave it another try.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good. I think that's all I've been watching.
Oh, and then the new Doctor Who. I mean, you had to see Capaldi.
Nope, we haven't seen it yet.
Nope.
Because we haven't watched
spoilers.
The Christmas special. Because
someone
Dinosaur.
Was supposed to have us over for it, and then their wife had a birthday or some crap.
Sorry. It happens every year.
Yeah.
There's a dinosaur. Spoiler.
Shirley, what are you watching?
Once Upon a Time, season 2.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Season what?
2.
Season 2.
Season 3 just got released.
Yeah.
So
I'm catching up on season 2 as well. I watched half of it the first time, but the wife was the one watching it, so
have you
she kind of went ahead.
So? Yeah, I've watched a little bit. My wife watches it. I don't really watch it.
You should give it a try. Season 2 is way better than season 1.
Okay.
What?
I liked it because it had the guy that was playing, Rumpelstiltskin?
Yeah.
Nicholas Rush?
Yes.
That he played from Stargate Universe. And once I saw he was in it, I was like, Stargate Universe was
needs to come back.
Ball.
I'm ready for it to
yep.
come back.
And the way it ended, I cried. I'll admit it.
Really?
Oh.
Then I need to go watch it.
Yeah. I was... You will bawl.
I stopped watching Stargate, the series, right when they made Stargate Atlantis, I think. So I haven't seen anything past...
Stargate Atlantis is a little campy, a little out there, but it does...
It comes around.
It does work towards the end. It gets better and comes back to where it
you
needs
can.
To be.
Let's put it this way: you can watch Stargate Universe without watching Stargate Atlantis at all.
Yeah,
but I watched Stargate Atlantis because Khal Drogo was in it for God's sake.
Heck yeah!
Aquaman, you mean?
That last week too.
Yeah. Have you seen the Dothraki bucket challenge?
No. Oh yes, I have.
Yes,
I
you have.
Yeah.
You know, they do it to the Daenerys' sister, to his Daenerys'
oh,
brother.
Yeah, yeah, no, I remember that.
It's not an ice bucket. It's
and
a gold bucket.
Besides Once Upon a Time?
No, just Once Upon a Time.
Too. And John?
I just finished up season 3 of Sherlock.
Nice.
Awesome, right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
What, 3 episodes?
It is.
Yep, 3
but
episodes a season.
They're hour and a half long,
yeah, I mean,
so it's a movie.
Movies,
yeah.
Yeah.
I was super disappointed when it came on Netflix because they did... behind the scenes stuff, and they put it up as 3 episodes. So I turned on my Netflix and went into view the episodes, and I was like, "Oh, 6! Yay!" And then I ended season, episode 3, and went to 4. I was like, "Wait, this isn't an I'll still watch it." But
was the wedding was the wedding not amazing?
Yeah.
It's like, let me give you a toast. So here's what I need to tell you about.
It's, it's been not more than 2 weeks, but I will still punch you in the throat. Because
and
I've been promising Shirley we watched Sherlock.
Yeah.
It is fantastic.
So, well, have you guys read the Sherlock
no.
books yet? Okay.
Yeah.
The changes they made to Mary's character.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I was blown away. I was like, what are they doing?
Yes, but it was amazing. I mean,
so,
it was just...
Yeah.
What are the books? Are you talking
well, I mean,
about
like the original Arthur Conan Doyle
Arthur
stories.
Conan Doyle stories.
Mary is a very...
Don't even.
Is Mary... Don't Mary even. Is... So Watson's wife is involved in like... 3 stories at most, like the one where they meet
the
her, another one where she
right.
she does things, and the third one
in the
television series, episode 3 of season 3. Oh my God!
Yeah.
So
yeah, and it's funny because you get to see the caring side of Sherlock.
Yeah,
in that he sits down and talks to her old boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
and he's like. Man, and he's telling him, okay, well, I followed your texting habits. I followed what you've been doing on your phone. I followed what you did here. Okay, you really need to leave her alone. I know you're still in love with her, but you need to move on because John Watson's going to marry her and you need to leave her alone. And he goes, well, you were just like a psychopath. And he goes, no, I'm a high-functioning sociopath with your number.
Yeah, with your address.
Or with your with your address.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, okay. And it's and you're like, oh, he cares. And you're going like, well, how twisted is that? It's fantastic, and that's not really spoiling anything.
Okay. Okay, so anything else that you've been watching?
I watched Sword Art Online, an anime that is kind of okay. They try to do a... there's a virtual reality helmet that takes you into an MMO, and then a guy locks the first 10,000 users inside the world.
Oh, that's cool.
And then if they die in the MMO, they die in real life. That's half of season one.
Wow.
They get out of it, and they go, and then some other guy takes it over, except he's being a creepy guy, and he's kidnapped the main character's girlfriend. Sorry. And locked her back in the game, and but then there are all these concepts that they never explore in the anime that they apparently explore in the manga. So
S-W-O-R-D-E-R.
Yeah, sword, because the first game is all about sword fighting.
Yeah,
your technique with sword fighting. One guy is good with a sword and shield. The main character dual wields, mm-hmm. and then his girlfriend does fencing style, and so they get good at the game. And level up and kill all these monsters is a lot less action than you would think show about sword fighting would be. But and like I said, I feel like this anime is missing something, but it's got some interesting concepts that might be worth checking out.
All right, well, I think that'll actually do us this week for Nerds Domain Podcast. You guys should head over to the website. And on the right-hand side, you're going to notice a new little area where you can sign up for our newsletter. We encourage you to do so, because even if you can't listen to the podcast every week, or even if you can't make it to the website every day, we like to highlight those things and what else we're doing in our lives that's going on in our newsletter. So please head over to the website, sign up for the newsletter, and that would help us keep in contact with you even more. And you can always find us on Facebook and on Twitter, and you can buy our shirts over at /Loot, and we'll talk to you guys real soon.
This has been a production of the Omega Nerds Network, the network where it's on.